Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
My name's Jeremy, and I'm the lead pastor here at the Church at Lake Travis. And let's just say thanks to all the dads for being here today. Would you do that? Yeah. Awesome. You may be seated for just a few moments. Let me just explain today's service real quickly. Today's service will be about 1 hour in length, and we did that design because we knew that dads would want to go and go play golf or go to lunch or go on the lake or whatever. We wanted to make sure that you had plenty of time to do that. And really, it's our goal each and every week that you would have an encounter with the living God. Our mission as a church is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. And so every time we look at how can we plan a service, it's with that end in mind. And we hope that you, if you're joining us as a guest today, that you experience God in a fresh way. For us as a church, each and every week, we typically receive communion towards the end of the service, but today's format's a little different. We're going to receive communion at this time, and we're going to reflect on what Christ has done for us. Now, the reason why we're going to do that is because it's important to remember what he's done. When I think about remembering, I think how often I forget. I can't go to the grocery store without forgetting at least one thing on the list. In fact, that's why I have to bring a list with me. And sometimes even when I bring a list, I don't remember what I was supposed to bring. I forget things that I'm supposed to do during the week. Today, I forgot something when I got here, and I had to go back to the office and pick it up and come back. And I don't know if you ever forget. But I think that we as humans are prone to forget, and often we need reminders. And so really, that's what communion is. Each and every time we remember what Christ has done, it's serving as a reminder to us. Now, it's Father's Day, and so we'll talk a little bit about reminders and how those help us as parents, and we'll continue to remind one another of what God has done. So, way back in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there is some instructions about communion, and I thought that I would just spend a little bit of time unpacking that for a few moments before we remember what Christ has done. Now, you need to know this. We are in the middle of a series called God Is, and we've been identifying one particular attribute every week where we talk about God is blank. And last week, we really were wrestling with this idea that that God is, in fact, working in our lives in a meaningful way. And this week was supposed to be that God has come. And what does that mean? It means that Jesus came as God incarnate, that he took on flesh incarnate. That's the Latin phrase for that, incarnate, in flesh. And we know from Matthew's gospel that he was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so I wanted us to keep that in mind as we read from 1 Corinthians this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, the Apostle Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This bread, this is my body. This is my flesh, which is for you.'" And then notice the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Last week we said that God is in covenant with us through shed blood. He covenants a relationship with us. He wants a relationship with us, and he takes the first step, and he did this through Jesus. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, Jesus said. And then he says, do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, as we think about communion, we think, okay, I need to remember. I need to remember what God's done for me through the cross. I remember that when he was nailed to a cross, his body was broken and his blood was shed for me. And so I'm going to remember that as I take this cracker and dip it in a cup of juice and place it in my mouth. And I'm going to identify with people that have been believing this truth for thousands of years now. And this becomes like a family meal where we all gather around the table and we say, yes, I believe, I remember what God's done for me through Jesus coming in the flesh. Now, here's what's important to remember as well. Often throughout Scripture, the Bible says that we, the family of God, those who have believed in Jesus, we become the bride of Christ. He's the groom, and we're the bride. And this week I was talking with Blake, my almost 15-year-old son, and he was like, what does that mean? Like when it says the church is the bride of Christ. And I explained to him really like that God sees us as in this covenant relationship, that he sees us as his family, that we've become one with him. That he loves us and that he is looking for us he wants to present us blameless as a bride of Christ. Just like a bride would wear a white wedding gown in her wedding, Jesus wants to present us blameless before the Father. And so as we sing and as we reflect on communion at this time today, we can remember that we are his bride. And that he is, in fact, preserving us. And I say that because verse 26 says this about communion. It says, whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is a public declaration that you say, not only do I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin, that his body was broken, that I receive healing through his broken body, but I also believe that he is coming again. That all of the difficulties in my life, all the challenges in my life, that they're going to pale in comparison to his glory and his return, and he's going to set things right. He's coming again. Way back in the book of Revelation, the very last book of Scripture, Jesus says these words. He says, behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he's done. And then the Spirit and the bride, that is the church, say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. And then he goes on and it says, if anyone takes this book and doesn't apply what it says, they won't inherit this kind of life. And then it says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, Jesus speaking, I am coming soon. Amen. The writer of Revelation says, come, Lord Jesus. And I hope that today, as you approach the communion tables, that you can have that same kind of confidence, that you can say, yes, as I receive communion today, I'm receiving this in remembrance of what Jesus did, but I'm also receiving it in anticipation for what he's going to do when he returns again. Yeah, you can clap. That's going to be good. So as reflect and we remember what Christ has done, let us bow our heads and remember and ask God to evaluate our hearts before we approach the table today. Lord, We thank you for your grace at work in us, that we can never achieve salvation on our own. That it is by grace we've been saved through faith. And we know that your word tells us if we confess our sin, that you're faithful and you're just to forgive us of our sin. And so, God, we confess any sin that's in our life, in our heart right now, anything that stands between us and you, we want to have clean hearts because we want to be a bride that is presentable to you. And thank you that your word tells us that it's by your blood that you forgive us. And so we remember that this morning. Thank you for the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, and the fact that your word proclaims that he will come again. And so, Lord, it's with that anticipation that we celebrate communion today, and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, let's say Happy Father's Day to all the dads one more time. Yeah. Good, good, good. Well, so today I told you that I'm going to interview a couple of folks and really let them do the sharing. And so what we're going to do is allow each of our interviewees about 7 to 8 minutes. I told them 8. I'm telling you 7, and we'll figure out, you know, how we go from there. And the whole idea is we wanted to talk today about faith and fatherhood and how that applies. And moms, don't check out because we've got some good stuff for you as well. And kids, don't check out because I'm guessing that one day you might want to be, especially if you're a guy, may want to be a father someday, and there's a lot you can learn as well. So first I want to invite Joe Wargo to join me here. Joe, as you're coming, wherever you're coming from, I'll just explain a little bit about Joe. Joe has been a part of our church for about 6 years now, and he has served on our board. He's led mission teams. He's been honored as Volunteer of the Month and lots of other things, currently serving as an amazing dad in our elementary ministry. So please help me welcome Joe to the stage, and thank you. Now, I've introduced you, but you introduce yourself now a little bit. Tell us your family and how old you are and the ages of your kids. And I think that's an important point because I want you to see, like, we've got some dads in different life phases. So, Joe, tell us about yourself.
So the question about age, mentally or physically?
It's just a number, right? Yes.
I'm Joe Wargo. I'm really blessed with my wife Gina and Bowman, who's here, and my daughter Grace, who's down actually in elementary right now. So
that's awesome.
Family of four.
Very good. And what do you enjoy most?
By the way, I'm 50.
Okay, 50. Okay, good, good. Thanks. So what do you enjoy most about being a father?
Probably the greatest thing is just spending time with my family.
Yeah.
Those that do know me, I'm very much into my family.
Yes.
My whole life revolves, you know, God first, but then family second. Work, other things, always comes last.
Yes.
So we design our life around our family. I look at it that, you know, I have this brief moment that God has blessed me with a gift to take care of it and enjoy that gift.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully that we'll live a long time. But even if we do, you know, there's going to be a time when my son and my daughter will leave to start their own families.
Yes.
So I look at this brief little window of literally a present that God gave me to say, cherish it now.
Yeah.
So waking up every morning, spending every moment with them, revolving my life around that is what's most important to me.
Yeah, and the Wargo family lives this out. We've seen this time and time again. When they travel, they do something pretty unique. And I told them I was going to maybe ask some spontaneous questions to keep it interesting. And so tell us a little about bring, learn, grow and that whole idea that you guys use with your family.
Yeah, it actually started with, well, first of all, we're total Avengers. I have travel in my blood. Every couple months I get itchy, I got to go somewhere, get on a plane, go somewhere. But my whole family's like that. And then it really started, actually, my wife Gina sort of came up with the whole concept that we were traveling, especially a lot of third world countries, because we both, you know, scuba dive and we like going down to the Caribbean and Central America. And she, you know, we thought of like when we're there, we're so blessed to be able to go. I mean, that's God provides us to be able to do things, and we've been able to, you know, we're self-employed, so we're able to take time off that we want. But when we go there and we see this, you know, we see beautiful places that God created. I mean, just blows your mind how beautiful. And you meet these just the most amazing, beautiful people that have so much less than what we have.
Yeah.
We wanted to make sure that, you know, our kids understand that, yes, we're here with beautiful beach or beautiful ocean and all God's creation, but these people that were there are welcoming us to their homes.
Yeah.
And what better can we do than give back a little bit?
Okay.
So the whole idea is bring, learn, grow. One is to bring our children with us everywhere we go. We're not a type to leave them with grandma and grandpa and just go out on our own, because we end up talking about our kids the whole time anyway. So we're like, we might as well just bring them. And a lot of this is because then we have the memories shared together.
Yeah.
Right? Learn so they can learn about other cultures, other people, and learn what God's doing in the world. And that allows them to grow. So hopefully, you know, when our kids do leave on, that they, you know, they'll have a different perspective of the world and different perspective of people, mm-hmm. and have God. So every time we go travel somewhere, you know, it doesn't work out every time, but a lot of times we try to give back, either spend part of a day going to an orphanage or a local school that maybe needs supplies, find out ahead of time what do they need,
mm-hmm.
and go with the mind that we do that. And in cases where we don't do that, we at least try to open our hearts to, no matter where we travel, that we try to connect with people somewhere.
Good.
And God comes up in the conversation and just their faith, and somehow be a light of God to other people.
Wow. Wow. Isn't that neat how they do that and bring really family and travel and mission all together, and they end up making a difference all over the world as they travel, which is really exciting. Joe owns his own business, and sometimes you have to travel. And I know that sometimes reentry into family life can be challenging. So after being away on business or just working long hours, what's your favorite or best way you like to reconnect with the family?
Really, it's just, I tease Gene about this all the time. My favorite thing to do is nothing.
Okay.
It's just hanging out, just being together, whether it's just, you know, swimming in the pool together with the kids and
yeah.
as a family, or just barbecuing, or just sitting around playing games,
yeah.
or watching a movie, just being together. Whenever we're apart, you know, I always feel empty. I really do. When I'm at my best is when I'm with the four, the four of us. So just getting back and reconnecting, it doesn't matter what we do. It's just a matter of just being together. It sort of rejuvenates and refills me.
I love that. I know I'm very similar to that, and I almost go into this like mini depression after like 4 days of my family being out of town, or I'm away from them, or whatever. So
it's bad. Like when I travel for business, it's not so bad because I'm busy.
Right,
I keep busy. The worst is when like Gina travels,
when she travels,
because she's works with me in the business, but mostly she travels, and when she's gone and I'm home alone, I go nuts.
Wow.
Talk about getting projects done. Right? You got to do everything.
That's good. Let me ask you this last question. We've been in this series, God Is, here at the Church at Lake Travis. And for your family, what attribute would you likely put in that blank and emphasize, and why?
The thing I put in a blank is just, we're loved. Mm. I always say, like, you dream of your own life, right? When you're without God, you know, you dream of things like, my dream is so big, it's here. Little do you know that what God has for you is here, right? I've never imagined in a million years, I mean, I dreamed of what a family would be like and what it would be like to be a father, but when you are a father, I think every dad can contest to this, you know, when you just look at your child sleeping or look at your wife and just and realize, like, I don't deserve all this. What a gift.
Yeah.
And I have to be so loved to be given this gift.
Yeah.
And so trusted. So I just think, you know, my family and being a father is probably the greatest single act of love that God has given me. It just, it tells me that I'm loved, to be able to be given something way up here that I never even imagined.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing. Thank you. Let's thank Joe for sharing. Appreciate you. Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
We're keeping this fast paced today because we know men, they want it fast. They want it, just hurry up and get to the point. So Mark, come on up. Mark is Mark Batten is a part of our church, and he has been faithful in starting a men's ministry and leading men's Bible study. And Mark is a godly man that really sets an example for all of the men in our church and currently discipling people. And so welcome Mark to the stage and say thanks. Mark, tell us a little bit about your family and stage of life you're in.
Okay. I'm 51. My wife, Patty, is my bride of 27 years. I have a 24-year-old daughter, a graduate from UT Dallas, a 22-year-old daughter, graduate from Texas Tech, and a 17-year-old son, going to be a senior here at the high school.
Yes, almost empty nester. He's a partial empty nester. Yeah, that's good. As long as none of the girls come back, right? Right. So he was smart. He sold his house and moved into an apartment. You know, so they can't come back.
They do. We have a big couch, and I wake up often. Find them on the couch hanging out, and they bring their dogs and their pets with them too. So that's
good. Tell us maybe an embarrassing dad story for you. What's the most embarrassing dad story you've...
Can we all agree that getting lost in studying God's word is a good thing?
Yes.
Just raise your hand. If that's a good thing, raise your hand. Is it good? Thank you. Just remember that when I tell you this story.
Okay.
I was at home studying, getting ready for something I was leading, and in the background is Bob the Builder is playing on TV. How many of you remember Bob the Builder?
Yeah.
Maybe Blue's Clues. So in my world, everything was normal. The cartoons are on, I'm studying, and all of a sudden the doorbell rings, and I get up and I answer the door, and there's a strange lady holding my 2-year-old son. He had escaped and walked 2 blocks down the street. Needless to say, I got an earful, so... But it was because I was in God's Word.
Oh, you know, yes. So it's all. Oh, that makes
it's
it
good.
Better.
Makes...
That's good. Mark, have you always been the spiritual leader of your home? And then talk about what does it look like to lead your family spiritually?
Okay. The answer to that is no. I began my marriage not being the spiritual leader of my family, but on August 7th, 1999, we're about 19 years out, I went to a men's conference, and I had an encounter with Christ that forever changed my life. And I came home from that conference, and I told my wife, Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will no longer let any other influences dictate how we live or who we live for. So, yes, that's when I became the spiritual leader of my family.
Wow. And sometimes we throw that phrase around, the spiritual leader. We teach that men are to be the spiritual leader of their homes. But what does that mean to you on a practical level?
Well, I think I can combine that with one of the other questions about demanding respect from your wife.
Mm.
Demanding respect is not something that you should do. And I'm drawn to, you know, in the context of marriage, 1 Peter chapter 2 is famous instructions for how to be a husband and a wife. There's all kinds of instructions there on what to do, what not to do. But us men tend to take out of context, you know, you will be submissive to me, my wife, or wives be submissive to your husbands. Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing is true with your children and being a leader of your household. I think we have to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, where Christ models humility. And out of that humility, he goes to the cross because he considered other people to be more important than himself. Amen. He was willing to lay his life down for them. And the previous part of that passage, Paul is telling us not to be selfish or be full of vain conceit, but to consider others more important and to, you know, to nurture and serve them. So the cool thing is at the end of that passage, Jesus goes to the cross, right? And he dies, and he's now exalted in the high place. Yeah. He's at the right hand of the Father.
Right.
So he was glorified and given that rightful place because of serving. So I think that, and I believe as a husband, as a father, as we put the needs of our wives and our children first,
yeah,
respect and adoration will follow.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Thank you. Yeah, no, worship. Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. What is the best way, you know, because I want moms here today and wives, I want them to get to hear just from our perspective, a man's perspective, what's the best way for a wife to show how her relationship with her husband is more important than her relationship with the kids?
Well, let me just say this. Oftentimes, if I put my selfish desires first and my own needs first, my idea of my wife's mothering gets skewed because I get jealous. I want more of her, and I tend to put pressure on her. This is when they're little. I put pressure on her to not be the mother that she is awesome at. So I would just challenge you to check your heart first before you start asking your wife to do things or show that she loves you more than the children. And I think that if you do serve your wife, she's going to love you like crazy. I often struggle with this. Does my wife think that, you know, I'm the man that, you know, she dreamt about as a young child because I'm pursuing God so hard? Because the devil likes to play, you know, mind games. Oh, don't be so zealous to pursue God because your wife thinks that, you know, you're kind of a girl. You're a sissy. But she tells me that she's more madly in love with me now and finds me extremely sexy as a man of God. So, yeah, I'm in my Bible every day because I want some more sexiness. So,
that's good. That's good. That's good.
So I would just encourage you, as you love your wife, she'll be a great mother, and she'll also love you, and she'll know how to balance being a mom and being a wife.
Very good. That's awesome, Mark. Now, I'll ask you the same closing question that I asked Joe. We've been in the series called God Is. Fill in the blank for your family. What would you want them to know?
I would say that God is faithful. Scripture tells us that even while we're faithless, he is faithful because he cannot deny himself. So those who are Christ followers, you'll have seasons where, you know, you just don't sense God's presence. Maybe you've sinned and you feel like you're too far from receiving his grace, his love, his forgiveness. So God's faithful. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. My family's not perfect. But we find time and time again that as children of God, we're in this covenant relationship that he's doing most of the work, and we get the joy of responding to what he's doing in our hearts and our lives. And then adoration and praise and joy just flows out of that. So, yeah, God is faithful.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, let's thank Mark for... Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. And you can know, men, if you aren't already learning more about this, Wednesday mornings at Panera Bread Company, Mark leads a Bible study there every Wednesday morning, going through the book of Galatians. It's a dynamic study, and if you don't know how to study the Bible, it's the place to start. It's a great place, and many men that get to participate. This is Charlie Harrisberger. Many of you guys know him. Charlie is our elementary pastor here at the church at Lake Travis, and I just got to sit with Charlie over lunch a couple of weeks ago, and I said to him, we need more of your wisdom. This guy is full of wisdom, and I just thought, what better way would it be for us than to mine it out of him with a few questions? And so, Charlie, tell us, I think most folks know you, but tell us who you are and ages of your kids and all that good stuff.
I'm Charles Allen Harrisberger. I'm 56. I have four kids, almost 29, 26, 23, and 17.
Yeah, all right.
And grandbaby, 17 months, and one in the oven. Yeah. So, pretty cool stuff.
That's very good. Yeah.
Been married for 33 Is that right? 33 years? I don't know. I can't do math anymore.
Okay. Well, you got to get that one right, bud. All right.
Yeah. I have to stop and use a lot of fingers.
You have navigated kind of all the different seasons of parenting, and I would just love to hear from you. What advice, if you were to say there's one piece of advice that I would give a new father who maybe has a newborn or maybe a couple of preschoolers as to how they can go about leading their family well, what would you say to them?
Yeah. Let me start by saying, when Jeremy said, "Hey, yeah, I want you to be on this panel and tell us how to do this," and the only thing I could think of was every flipping mistake I've made. Mm-hmm. I can just see them, you know, and just write them down and make a movie, and it's humiliating because, you know, there's this whole deal, you know, when you're pastor in a church and stuff, and I was a youth pastor forever, that, you know, you got to be perfect. So there's that, and that basically leads into this, which is what I found. You know, if I look back over parenting and say, okay, so what were my mistakes rooted in? Basically, my mistakes were rooted in legalism, which is that for me to be good, they have to be good. And so when you parent out of that, if you're parenting for your kids to give you something and to make you something, then you're hosed, because they can't bear that burden. They can't bear that. And so parenting out of legalism ultimately is idolatry, and that's a whole other issue. Learning that God parents us in grace, and then learning to do the same thing and trying to say, yeah, you know, I try to say yes. And Audrey's, she's really good at, you know, she just kind of pokes at it, you know, because my default response is no. And it's like, oh. And then she'll just like, poke. Poke there. Okay, fine. You know, so, and then her brother and sister say, oh my gosh, you're never gonna let us do that. And it's like, well, it's because I parented you out of legalism and I parented her out of grace. But yeah. So in that leading thing, I think the best thing a young dad can do is to figure out how to lead yourself well, and to seek the Lord well, and figure out who God is, because He's our Father and you want to be a father. So if you can figure out who God is and what it is for Him to father you, that helps.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. We'll get to answer that question last, but before we do, I want to hear from you.
Did I answer your question wrong?
No, that's great. 33 years of marriage. Yeah. What's the best way for a wife to bring up potential conflict without making her husband defensive?
Well, golly. Don't be defensive. Maybe.
You're telling the men. I'm telling the men. Defensive.
Yeah, don't be a defensive jerk face. because, I mean, that was, I mean, I, yes, you know, I was used to be horribly defensive. And so then Crystal, she would have to like navigate, and, you know, she would sneak in over here and throw it in and, you know, catch me at all the right stuff. And, you know, so I was thinking about that. I was like, you know, my soul, if Mark, who stole pretty much every answer, but you know, but I was thinking about, you know, the same verse, Philippians 2, to have this mind in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. And I think probably the best way for your wife to approach you about whatever you said there is for you to not be defensive and be a servant and
humble yourself
and yeah. consider that, you know, you are not the supreme ruler of your home. And in that, I was sitting there thinking about that in the chair there, that my attitude is that I have a lot that my kids can teach me. And early on, somebody had said something about, you know, are your children involved in your discipleship? Do they disciple you? And no, I'm the leader of the family. I'm super God. And it was like, yeah, I mean, I can learn a ton from them, and I still do, and so that's a cool thing.
That is, it's reciprocal discipleship. You're discipling them; they're teaching you as well.
Yeah, except for Audrey, she didn't teach me.
Oh, right. We've been in the series "God Is," fill in the blank for your family.
So, I think it's. In my mind, it has to be, I have to keep in my mind that God is holy, he's set apart, he's other, and everything about him flows from that. And so if, you know, and so his fatherhood flows out of that, and so then it, you know, I say, okay, well, wow, okay, so what does that mean? God is holy. You know, how does his holiness impact this situation? How should his holiness impact who I am right now? And, yeah, so when I say God is holy, meaning that means he is set apart, he is other, he is, you know, completely perfect in all of his ways and all of his other, I think all of his other characteristics flow out of that and who he is. Yeah, holy.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Right on.
And that does impact us because we realize that we're not, and that we're desperately in need of a Savior. And in order for us to have that relationship with God, we in fact have to trust what Jesus has done for us to be able to be made holy as he is holy.
Yep.
That's so good. So good. Well, thank you, Charlie. Thanks so much.
So now if you'll stand and join me.
No. So, did you enjoy hearing from these men today? Yeah. I encourage you to go to lunch with them, grab a coffee with them, pick their brain more, find out, you know, if you have other questions. These are men who I would say they're spiritual leaders of their home, and if you want to follow and do the same thing, then seek out their counsel. They can provide help along with any of our pastors and staff. We're happy to help because we want to help you lead your family well. So today, we really wanted it to be practical and helpful to you as fathers, and wanted it to be focused on Christ, because we believe this, that anything we are as men, anything we are as husbands, anything we are as dads, it's like what we sang earlier, I am all that I am and nothing without you. We know that it's only by God's grace that we are able to lead our family well. These guys did a great job of talking about the humility that we all need as we lead our families well. And so as we reflect on that, I want to invite you to stand, and I want to pray for everyone here, and then the band's going to lead us in a song, and then Lee will come and share a few last thoughts. Father, thank you so much for Charlie and Joe and Mark and their story, and really how you've been at work in them It really is a great example to show that we don't do any of this on our own, that it's only by grace that we're able to do this. And so I pray for those who are here who maybe didn't have a good role model growing up. And I know there are many people like that. And so I pray that you will use the men that were here on this stage to be a good role model for those guys. I pray for the men who are also in the room who could serve in that role, that they would look for a Timothy protege that they would invest in and disciple and raise up another young man. And Lord, I pray that that would just create a contagious environment where we would all grow. Thank you, God, again for your grace, and we celebrate all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing about his grace together.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.